And the church says, amen. Today, of course, is the time when I come and stand before you and bring the New Year's message, as I have done for ever since this church has been in existence and are actually in my pastorate. I want to preface a lot of things this morning before I get into exactly what I feel the Lord has given unto us for this year in 2022. It's very unwise for any pastor, in fact, any Christian, that, you know, the older that you become in the Lord, the easier it becomes, you think. It's unwise to think that it's easier to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit and sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult to discern the will of God because the will of God is the Word of God. Amen? But when you pray like I do, as I have always done, for a word, you know, it doesn't come easy as you get older. Matter of fact, the truth is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is always growing us up into maturity, right? When I was a young believer, it was like, the Lord just, He was so good, and you would get like a paragraph in your heart, you know, and then when you get older, you're lucky if you get the sentence, you know, or maybe even a word. Do you understand? And then you have to pray for months or weeks about what that word might be. You know, D.E. Host said this. He said, oh, the pressure. It goes on from stage to stage, and it changes in every period of your life. You've heard me say exactly that, haven't you? Every decade is different. Hudson Taylor said this. He said, how is it in my younger days, things came so clearly, so quickly, but now that I'm older and I have gone on in my ministry and God using me, I seem often to be like a man in a fog, and I do not know what to do. That is exactly the way it is today with me. The last few years, New Year's messages, I have noticed how increasingly difficult it has been for me to truly understand the word that the Lord spoke into my heart. I do know that He always stretches our faith, doesn't He? To step out on the water, get out of the boat, and all those things. Let's just look at the last 3-4 years or whatever. Let's go back to the New Year's message in 2018. I stood before you and I said, this is the only time I have ever asked the Lord to not teach what I believe that He had given me. And remember what it was. It was Malachi 3:10. And it had to do with the tithe and so forth. And I just couldn't understand, Lord, why would you, what is this, bring all your tithes in the storehouse? I don't beg for money. You know that. And I mean, it's scriptural. I believe in the tithe and all those things. And I do tithe. But what I didn't understand about Malachi 3:10 that the Lord was showing me, that it was about, the theme of it is not necessarily tithing, although that's included, but the theme is the faithfulness of God. He said, prove me now, or put me to the test in this now. In other words, if you truly believe that I am the faithful God, then I am telling you to put me to the test to see what I have commanded you. Will it come to pass or not? And you know the story, that there I was begging God like a little sissy. You know, there in my home on a Friday morning when I was supposed to be here always, but a plumber was coming. You know the whole story. I don't have time to get in all of it, but I had to be home and I was waiting on the plumber. And then a telephone call came and a gentleman said, Bill, I need to come to your house. What is your address? And I go, I don't want to counsel anybody. You know, I'm just being honest. And so he said, I got to come over. I said, all right. And so I'm still in there crying like a little baby about, Lord, I don't want to teach this message. And he walks in and he looks at me and he's crying and he goes, oh, Bill, he says, you know, it's a joy to be a giver, a cheerful giver to God. And I said, okay, well, what's your problem? And he handed me that envelope, remember? And he says, open it. And I said, what is it? He said, it's a gift to Calvary Chapel. He didn't even go here. And I'm sitting there on the couch and I open it up. And you know the story. There was a check in there for over $200,000 given to this church. The moment that he gave me that check, the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart and he said, did I not tell you that the moment I gave you that word that I would open the windows of heaven for Calvary Chapel? And he did, didn't he? Do you remember? I mean, he did that. And then it was all birthed because of what happened in the New Year's message in 2017 when the Lord said, this is going to be the year of persistent or passionate, persistent prayer. Remember? Well, that birthed the Prove Me Now message. And then the Prove Me Now message, you know, the next thing that God did in 2019, he told us, he gave us a word. He said, the whirlwind is coming. Remember that? He says, the harvest is ripe. Prepare. Did we prepare? We certainly did. And you know what God did? God brought the harvest to us, didn't we? He told us from Isaiah's gospel in 54:2, he told us, man, enlarge the place of your tents. You know, lengthen your cords and so forth. Do not spare, God said in the word. That was our word. What did we do? We did candy cane Christmas, the single mothers and so forth, and single grandmothers raising their children. And you know the story. There we were. We helped them $150,000, the greatest outreach the ministry we've ever had, local ministry or local outreach that we've ever had here at Calvary Chapel. I mean, was God faithful? No, I'm asking you. Not one penny, not one dime came out of the general budget of this church. Money came in from you guys, but money came in from all over America when they heard about this. And every penny, it didn't hurt us at all. And God paid for every bit of it because we obeyed his voice. From that, it birthed a tent called Free, but you know the story. We only went out twice, and from that, 10 people were saved the first 2 weeks, and then the pandemic shut us down. And then we waited and waited. And then at the year's end, in 2021, what did God say? He gave us the word, relaunch, all hands on deck. In other words, come out of seclusion, and we reopen the services and the kids' church. But 50% of Calvary decided to remain on shore. They didn't return. And then after much prayer, the Lord did something else. He said, okay. He said, relaunch is over. And he gave me a second word in the middle of this or last year. And the word was this. On August 22nd, 2021, the word was rebuild. Now, relaunch, then rebuild. And here I stand, and it's 2022, but never have I ever received last year, 2021, never have I ever received three words in 1 year from the Lord. Never. And so on Sunday, October 24th at 7 a.m., I was preparing to leave for the office for church here to preach, of course. And the Lord spoke one word to my heart. I went in and I wrote it immediately in my journal. Let me say this. You know me. I am nothing. You know, all of us are nothing without Jesus. I'm not a prophet or any of those things, and I'm not trying to act like a prophet or even think that this morning. But I have a specific word for a specific people, you, for a specific purpose. And, you know, I'm going to declare it to you as I say every year. Can't define it yet because we have to let it unfold. Does that make sense? And has it always unfolded? It has always. It has always unfolded. Let me ask you a question. Has God's word, this is vital that you, if you don't know this, this is true. It is vital that we know that what God has spoken to us over the years, has it proven true? Yes, it has. Unbelievable. Just a simple word, stepping out in fear, stepping out in faith, and seeing God work. Long before I ever became a pastor, and I don't even know why I did this, I started praying for me personally at the beginning of the new year, Lord, is there something specific you have for me? Is there an area I need to move into? And I would always ask the Lord for a word for the new year. And then when I entered into the ministry, that carried over into my pastorate. I want you to know that this has been a very difficult week for me. And then to wake up this morning knowing that I'm ill, not with COVID, but with this junk, you know what I'm saying? Just another attack, if you will. But this week has been a week of agony for me and struggling in prayer. And I'm going to tell you with a transparent heart, I have complained more to God this week, I think, than any other time in my life. And matter of fact, I was still complaining in my office before I came out here today, okay? And I say, Lord, please forgive me. Something happened on Tuesday morning, December 28th, 2021, because I was, even when I had the staff dinner, I told them I'm struggling to whether even I'm going to bring this message or not. I want to just move into 2 Thessalonians. And when I was praying and complaining to God Tuesday morning, see, I keep everything. Do you understand? I write it down. Because I can't remember anything anymore. And the Lord spoke to my heart. Now, you know, the Lord still speaks. And he gives you that impression. And let me, I'm going to read exactly. Because I ran into my study at home. And I wrote this down. And I was shaving when the Lord gave it to me. That's the honest to God truth. Becky probably was wondering, why did you run out of the bathroom? And I did tell her later. And so forth. But this is what the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart. About the word that I ask for and pray for every year at New Year's. The Holy Spirit says, you did not choose to pray for a word every year. I chose you to do this for that day. And for this reason, that through the years, you would grow and you would learn to trust me and know that the word that I gave unto you was true and it would come to pass. And now all these years later, the word for 2022 takes trust in me again. Well, that gave me great comfort. Do you understand? So I told you last Sunday to not to look at the year 2022 as a new year. And yes, of course it is. But I told you to look at it as a beginning of a season. And I quoted these scriptures from Ecclesiastes 3:1 and 3:8, which says, to everything there is a season. A season, loved one, is a fixed portion of time. So to everything there is a season and a time, that's when it starts, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to be like little children, because we all must be in that kind of faith, a child's faith. Would you say that the first coming of Jesus, our Lord, would you say that it brought a revolution on planet Earth? I mean, did it start out huge or small? Did it cover the earth? And here I stand 2,000 years later, still preaching the word of God that Jesus came to give us. When Jesus began to preach, it says that he said, repent. He said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He made so many revolutionary statements in the Bible. I mean, we take them today and they're just normal, but they were revolutionary then. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, and you know what he told Nicodemus, remember? You must be born again. Is that not revolutionary? No. See, we're not, you have to be a child. Man, I mean, of course, Nicodemus said, now how am I going to get back in my mother's womb? Are you kidding me? How's that? It blew him away. That's revolutionary. Jesus said this. He was the God-man. He looked like a man because he was a man. He said in John 8:12, what did Jesus say? He said, I'm the light of the world. Can you imagine someone walking up to you and saying, you know what? I'm the light of this world. You know what? If you will follow me, you will never walk in darkness. Do you understand what I just said? Is that revolutionary? That is unbelievable. I mean, what a revolution. I mean, he said this, whoever believes in me. Can you imagine, Kath, I walk right up to you and I say, if you believe in me, you will never perish, but you will have eternal life. Is that revolutionary? But you see, we just read it, okay, and we got it. Oh, no. Man, people were blown away. Matter of fact, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, when it gets to the very end, it says that the people were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Loved one, listen. Jesus, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the thousands. He called himself the light of the world, the door to the sheep, the resurrection, and the life. He said that I'm the bread of life. Could you imagine anyone walking up to you and say, listen, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats of me will never die. I'm living water. If you drink of me, you know what? You'll never thirst again. You see how revolutionary that is? I mean, I look and I say, oh, Lord. John the Baptist cries out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What? I'm not a sinner. Don't call me a sinner. Jesus died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. And you know what he did? He created in himself one new man that has never existed before from the two, Jew and Gentile, creating a new community that has never been on this planet called the church. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that not revolutionary? And I say, oh, Lord, you talk about a revolution. This man, what he did, he said this. Are you ready for this? Whoever slaps you on the right side of the face, give him the other side. No, no, no. Are you listening to me? Jesus said this. He said, love your enemies. Can you imagine saying that when you were under Roman rule in Israel? Love your enemies, Jesus said. And not only that, bless those who curse you. Or is that revolutionary? He says, oh, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. You want to hear something revolutionary? Jesus said, oh, no, no. He says, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, what did he say do with it? Hello? No, no, you're not, or you're not getting it, are you? Do you see, is that revolutionary? He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, what did he say to do? Cut it off. Man, Lord, are you sure about these things? You want to hear something revolutionary? He said, do not worry about your life. Hello? I'm always concerned about me. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. What did he say? He made one of the most revolutionary statements in the Bible. He said, don't worry about your life. Just look at the birds. Just look at the flowers. Is that revolutionary? Oh, and I go, dear Lord, listen, is that not radical enough for you? Let me give you some more of his revolutionary statements. Jesus said, in Luke, he said in 12:49, Jesus said this, I come to send fire on the earth. Little Jesus, meek and mild. I come to send fire on the earth. And listen to what Jesus said, and how I wish it were already kindled. Let me give you the Phillips translation. It is a fire that I've come to bring upon the earth. Oh, and how I wish it was already ablaze. How about this? Luke 12:51, Jesus says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Matthew's Gospel 10:34 says it this way, do not think, Jesus said, that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. to cut in half, to divide. Is that revolutionary? He said in Luke 12:52, from now on, five in one house will be divided. The sword is going to go through the house. Three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Families cut in two. Why? Because it says one house, five in one house, because two natures cannot live. Two different natures cannot live in the same house. Darkness and light, there's nothing in common. Amen? This is a revolutionary statement. And then listen to this. Then Jesus called others to follow him and to lay down their lives for him and to commit themselves to him and follow up and live and keep the revolution going. Man, can you believe that? He says, I want you to be a part of my kingdom. And he gave us the promise of power upon high of all those who would follow him. He would empower us to serve even to the uttermost parts of this planet. Jesus is not only our Savior. Jesus is not only the church's Lord. He is the King. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, whatever it is, I can't even think right now. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I ask you to do? Jesus is the King. Whenever he was standing before Pilate in John 18:33, Pilate looked at him and called unto Jesus and said, are you the King of the Jews? He looked at him. You know the story. Jesus is beaten and bloody, and he's torn to pieces. And he says, man, you don't look like a king to me, is what Pilate was saying. And then he said in verse 37 of that same chapter, Pilate said to him again, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am a king. In other words, yes, I'm a king. He says, for this cause I was born, this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. In other words, his kingdom is the kingdom of truth. Amen. And listen to what the Lord says now. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a relationship with them. And then he said, and they follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. What I say the rest of this time, I say with all the love that God has poured in me and in you. It's been shed abroad in our hearts. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I do not believe that the 21st century American church is hearing very well. Are we hearing very well? Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. But sometimes and most of the time, the church, and we can leave everybody else out, let's just talk about us. We only listen with one half of our ear. We kind of close it down. In other words, the only time that our ears in the church are fully open is when you're hearing something like, oh, God loves you. God is for you. He'll never relax his hold upon you. And you know what? He's going to get you. You know what I mean? But then whenever it talks about, you know, well, it's time to serve the Lord. It's time to go where he leads you. It's time to pick up your cross. When he says all those things, what happens? Well, the churches, the Christian's ear, boy, just starts getting, you know what I mean, closing off because they have a hearing problem. Y'all still with me? The Bible tells us this, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give heed, the more earnest heed. In other words, be careful, give attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Drift away, literally, let it slip through our hands. It's like a ring slipping off a finger. It's like a sailor tying a boat up to the dock carelessly, and it comes undone, and it starts drifting away, but it starts drifting away unnoticed. You know, that's what's happening right now. Loved one, listen. The church today, drifting away from prayer, drifting so far away from true Bible study, drifting so far away from truly putting a priority on church attendance. And they do it, it's unnoticed because they're drifting. And finally, they realize that Jesus, if they come to their senses, that Jesus is no longer their first love. It says in Hebrews 5:11, the writer says, oh, we have so much we want to say, but it's hard to explain. It's not hard to explain because they weren't smart. Listen to why. It's since you have become dull of hearing. They weren't always dull of hearing. They have become dull of hearing. He wanted to say so much, but you see, they had a hearing problem. You know, dullness of hearing is gradual. You finally don't hear it anymore, especially the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We have entered into a season, and we have to open our ears, loved one. The Christian mindset is today is much like COVID. It just keeps mutating. It keeps, the Christian mindset keeps going from new variant to new variant to new variant. And it has infected the church. We, you know, the church in America is almost a cookie cutter church, isn't it? Everybody looks the same, dresses, I'm talking about the pastorate. You know, just, what is it? Oh, listen, I tell you, the American church, you know what's happening? They are in the process, and they have been doing this now for a long time. They're in the process of redefining Christianity. That's what's happening in our very midst. Everything in this world is designed, the world is designed to entertain you. Everything in this world is designed to draw you away from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the precious Word of God. And you know what? All these variants have mutated into the church. The Christian mindset today believes that Christianity revolves around me, not around Jesus, around me. It caters to me. Is that Bible? No, it's not. You know what? I'm seeing it. I've lived long enough and pastored long enough. We're in a time right now when you know what's happening? That we have conformed Jesus into our image instead of being conformed into His image. The church really believes, because they're untaught today, they aren't taught the entire Word of God but pet doctrines and topics. The church today really believes the church exists to serve them. They don't believe that they exist to serve the body of Christ. I said this not too long ago, and I say it with love right now. Today, the church is more selfish and self-centered than the world that we live in. We have to open our ears for the season that we are in. Here is the word that God spoke unto my heart. He gave me one word, and I have struggled and agonized in prayer, and I believe what I'm about to tell you is from heaven. The word is this. In Latin, it means turn around. In our English language, it means revolution. Revolution. That is the word for 2022. if we looked at it in the political sense, revolution, it says, is a change in the way a country is governed, usually different political system, usually using violence or war. Revolution used as a noun. It's a change, and a very important change, in the way people do things. Revolution corrects an unacceptable situation. Here is the only New Year's resolution that Calvary Chapel needs, and it's revolution. A church that is truly living for Jesus Christ, because God has a specific calling on this church. Specific. You're here for a reason. If you're not part of the future of this church, you need to go find a church you can be a part of. Amen? Because we have a purpose here, and it's time to join the revolution. It's time to step out again in the adventure of serving the Lord. It is a revolution. You know what it does? You rise up and you take back what belongs to you. You take back what Jesus died and gave to you. You take it back. Man, listen, we have rights, but I'll tell you what, we will have no rights if we don't have a revolution in this church. And I mean that. We're in a season. You know, most of you probably, unless you're old as I am, remember Abbie Hoffman. Remember the guy, the Chicago Seven. You know, the protester, he protested the Vietnam War. He was the one who originated flower power. Y'all remember that? You know what he said about revolution? The only way to support a revolution is to make it your own. And that's what you have to do. That's why the Lord gave me the scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Look at it. He says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, the teaching of John the Baptist, and of course the apostles and us and the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, what? Suffers what? Violence. It's violently treated. Christians all over the world are dying, being martyred. But look what he says. Oh yeah, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent, what do? They take it. They take it. Say that word. Take it. How do they take it? By force. Now you can probably find many expositors with 20,000 interpretations. I'm going to give you mine from the Word of God. You know, the New Living Translation says it this way, from the days of John and so forth, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, but violent people attack it. I don't particularly care for that translation because they change little, is it a noun, is it a verb or what, but we don't need to get into that. How about Moffat? He says this, oh, they're pressing into the realm of heaven. Now listen, these eager souls are storming it. I love William's translation. Until this present moment, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm, and here it is, and those who take it are seizing it as a precious prize. What a glorious word. Vincent's word studies in the Greek in the New Testament. Let me just read it about the violent take it by force and all this. He says the word take by force means literally to snatch away, to carry off. Meyer said it this way. Those who use violent efforts, meaning spiritually violent efforts, okay? Oh, they drag it to themselves. Isn't that a great word? He says, Tyndale puts it this way. Oh, they that made violence, they pull it unto them. Christ speaks of believers. They seize upon the kingdom and they make it their own. He who hath ears to hear, hear. Listen, what kind of revolution are we talking about? It's time for the true church, that they wake up and they take by storm what God purchased for us, and that is, He offers us the kingdom. the kingdom of God, to make it our own. Let me prove it. Luke 12:31, Jesus said this. He said, but seek, that means to continually strive, to seek the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus put it this way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Luke put it this way. You seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and all these things, everything in life, it says, will be added unto you. And listen to what Jesus said now. He says, oh, do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure, his delight, to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. I'm going to ask you a question. Why are you not seeking what is yours? The church has stopped. Oh, listen, it's just routine now. Listen, you know what a revolution is? A revolution means to, like, revolve. Amen? It means that we, the church, we have to. The season, I'm telling you, we must, everything that we do in this place, in our lives, we have to revolve around Jesus. Everything. Everything that we do. Listen, he's given us power, Acts 1:8. Amen? Oh, come on. You know, that's, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, othermost parts of the world. But you know what's so sad? Most people, they don't use that power, or they don't believe in that power, or they don't know the Holy Spirit of God. Listen. Oh, William Booth said this, I consider that the chief dangers which confront this coming century, will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Loved one, listen to me. We have entered a fixed season, 2022 to 2024, a fixed portion of time. If you agree with what, have I given you only scriptures, haven't I? Okay, I'm not giving you my opinion. This is the word of God. Listen, take back your rights. No, the violent take it by force. I know this is going to, please don't send me an email on this. I'm not, but there was a movie years ago. I don't know what the name of it was, but it was about a newsman, and he opened up the windows and he started shouting at the people, and he says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And then he said, no, do you hear me? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You have to get mad. I'm talking about a righteous mad, a righteous anger in your heart, and take back your rights, your sons and daughters of God, your citizens of heaven. Some of you, you know what? Someone's stolen your prayer time. You're going to have to take it back. You have to take it back. You have to say, no, I can go to the throne of grace. I'm privileged and honored to go there. Oh, listen, not only do you have to do that, you have to take back, we have to take back the light. We are the light, and we've hidden it. The church, oh, hidden our light underneath a bushel, loved one. Oh, what good is light if it doesn't shine? We have to take back the salt, because the salt in the church has lost its flavor. Jesus said this in Luke 14:34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You know, I was thinking this morning when I was cooking my eggs, you know, my breakfast, and I have a little, that salt, not a shaker, but where you grab it with your hands, a hard salt, a big, whatever it is. And I was thinking, that salt, if it didn't salt that egg, what good is it? Amen? That's why Jesus said this, salt is good if it's lost its flavor. How can anything be seasoned? Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, if it's no longer salty, he says, how's it going to be seasoned? It is then good for nothing good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. What good is salt? We're the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it's not salty? And what good is a Christian who will not deny himself and take up his cross and follow him? What good is a church that won't do that? It's good for nothing. Do you understand? Oh, no, this is revolution time, loved one. Jesus said this. He says, listen, talking about if you're not going to do those things about the salt and so on, he said, it's not fit for the land. It's not fit for the dunghill. But men just throw it out. And Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What did Jesus just say? If the salt has lost its flavor, if the church is no longer salty, if the church is no longer what they're supposed to be, because that's who they are. He said, it's no good for, God says, it's no use to me. Man says, it's no good for me. Even the world has no use for it. Oh, loved one, listen, it's failed to do the only thing it was created to do. It is time. We have to. I think about it. No, we have to take back and believe who we are in Christ, because the true kingdom people, the violent, take it by force. Some of you need to take back your minds. Do you understand? You need to have a mental revolution in the way you think. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, we have the mind of Christ, or to let this mind abide in you. Amen? Well, we have all those things. And how about your home? Listen, do you know how many kids are ruling your home? Come on. There needs to be a revolution in our home, a revolution in our marriages, a revolution in the lives of our children. You need to take it back and say, enough is enough. You need to take back your masculinity, men. You need to take back your femininity, ladies. Do you understand? You need to take back your life and the victory that Jesus paid. We have overcome the world because we're in the one who's overcome the world. And you need to take back your blessings. You're giving them away. What did Jesus say? Paul the apostle, he says, thanks be unto God the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want a revolution? Listen to this one. Jesus said, Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and he doesn't hate his father, hate his mother, his wife, his children, brothers, sisters, and hate his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Is that revolutionary? Did Jesus really mean for us to hate our wives? Of course not. No, Ephesians, 5:25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen. It also would be a violation of the fifth commandment to honor your mother and father. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this: you have to love me more than anything else. I'm number one in your life. If I'm not number one, I'm not in your life. Do you understand that? He's saying you have to love me more than your family. You have to love me more than your children, or you cannot and you will never be my disciple. Is that revolutionary? Oh, loved one, that's the word of the living God. Listen to this. Luke 14:27. Whoever doesn't bear his cross, come after me. You can't be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Likewise, who does not forsake everything that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, he said, here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself. That word literally means to disown. Disown yourself. You're no longer king of your castle. You're no longer the boss. Your calendar doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the one who died for you and purchased you. Amen. And he says, not only that, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and then follow me. Wherever I lead you in this life, you have to follow me. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple if you don't do those things. But listen, we can do those things. Amen. And if we obey these things, you know what that makes you? A revolutionary. Do you follow me? Billy Sunday, that great evangelist, a great man of God, he said this: the rivers of America will run with blood, will be filled with blood, filled to their banks before we will submit to them taking the Bible out of our schools. Did the blood run up to the banks? No, no. Did we stop abortion? Oh, no. Did we stop the marriage being redefined? No. Did we stop transgenderism? No, 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 no. You know what? What have we stopped? Nothing. Nothing. Our nation is an opened, oozing, infected sewer, a wound. Only Jesus is the answer and the cure. I preached years ago the series, Illusion or Reality. And the fact is that the old America that we knew, that I knew, it's no longer here. It is gone. There are no absolutes in our nation anymore. America is not only divided, it is disintegrating. And so is our government and our Democrats and our Republicans and the socialists that are in there. And we're tearing down statues, tear them all down, rename every street, every school, but it won't change the heart. Oh, listen, oh, loved one, we live in a nation that is filled with hate. There's anger. There's little teenagers killing one another. It's not getting better. It is getting worse. We're not united. Heck, you can't even get on an airplane now. You know, do you know that there was nearly 6,000 assaults on airlines in the fights last year? Oh, listen, and look at us. Oh, look what the COVID has done. Most of the corporate church, oh gosh, oh listen, they allowed themselves to become divided over politics, hurting one another, accusing one another. And then not only that, they started fighting one another about mask and vaccine. What's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, and look at our nation. Marriage is gone. Little boys become little girls. And little girls become little boys. Hunter Schafer said something about this. And listen to what he said. We're on the forefront of a revolution in which identity and expression will take priority over the labels assigned to us at birth. Oh, in which self-identification will take priority over perception, in which gender will fall away entirely. Did you catch that? Will take priority over perception. And there is what's wrong with the church. There is no perception in the church. We must have a revolution of perception. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't understand the culture that you are living in, you will become a slave to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must be like the sons of Issachar. They knew the times. They were able to discern the times, but they were also able by perception to what? Know what to do. There must be a revolution, for we have entered into this season, 2022 through 24. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't, and I say it lovingly, guys, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the American dream becomes the American nightmare? When you see things fall apart, are you going to fall apart too? The Bible tells us that we belong to an unshakable kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Listen, if you're not, are you a part of that kingdom? Well, the only way to do it is to seize it and say, my citizenship is not of this world, and I have all the rights of the citizenship of heaven. And if God bid me walk on water, I can do it. We are the most powerful people on this earth, and we've laid down our armor. We've laid it down because we're lazy. Oh, I feel good now. I'm going to say now in trembling, all of what I've said, I could handle. But what I'm about to tell you now, you must judge. Matter of fact, you must judge everything I've said today. I want you to. I want you to judge everything I've said. But I want you to listen now, because I'm gone long, but I had to. Is America preparing itself for revolution? In 4 days, we're going to be remembering the insurrection at the Capitol on January the 6th. I wrote in my journal on that day these words. I said, "Oh God, the saddest day in America since 9/11. I read the Washington Post January 1st, 2022, yesterday. A new study says we're closer to civil war than any of us would like to believe. Barbara F. Walter, an incredible lady, a political science professor at the University of California, San Diego, who serves at the CIA advisory panel called Political Instability Task Force that monitors countries around the world and predicts of them which are most at risk of deteriorating into violence. So they did a study about our nation. She has studied and developed all of this her entire career, studying conflicts in Syria, Lebanon, Northern Ireland, the Philippines, Rwanda, Angola, Nicaragua, and elsewhere. And she applied those techniques with her team at the CIA to our nation. Here's the bottom line, she says. We are closer to civil war than any of us would like to believe. No one wants to believe that their beloved democracy is in decline or headed toward war. But if you were an analyst in a foreign country looking at the events in America the same way you'd look at the events in the Ukraine or the Ivory Coast or Venezuela, you would go down the checklist assessing each of the conditions to make civil war very likely. And what would you find is that the United States, a democracy founded over two centuries ago, has entered dangerous territory. I should say 245 years ago. You ready for this? The CIA. The United States is no longer technically qualifies as a democracy. We're no longer the world's oldest continuous democracy. That honor is now held by Switzerland, followed by New Zealand, Canada. We're no longer a peer to the nations like Canada, Costa Rica, and Japan. We used to be a 10 on the index, she said, but now we are a 5. A 5. December 31st, 2021, NPR. Retired generals, they're warning the U.S. military could lead a coup after the 2024 election. I don't have time to read all of that, but their Washington Post op-ed said this. In short, we are chilled to our bones at the thought of a coup succeeding next time. January 6, 2021, Dr. Tony Evans writing about the insurgency at the Capitol. Today's political violence was a tragic illustration of what happens to a nation when it abandons God's person, God's principles, God's policies. America is undergoing the passive wrath of God, which takes place when his standards are compromised, and the result is chaos, conflict, lawlessness. Only a radical return to God, my words would be a revolution. Only a radical return to God by his people will change this. And the answer to changing America is not the White House, but it is God's house. The Bible says this very clearly, a promise not only to Israel, but any of God's people. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." But that, loved one, is going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you to judge this word today. Do you understand? that we are in uncharted waters. But if there's ever been a moment when you need to become a revolutionary for Jesus Christ, it is today. And you have that decision to make. I'll not close us out in song this morning, but they're going to lower the screen. And I want you to listen to what is about to be said. And then you make your decision about this day. Amen. I love you dearly. Are you letting it down? Good, because I'm tired. And I'm going to my office now because I don't want to be around anyone. Does that make sense? Isn't God good? I love you dearly. Happy New Year.